session number 9013, Reel 3.
That's what Pompey was like. But we'd never been told. Out of sight, out of mind. And that's how I found out the Bloody War was over. Well, you see, what I did plenty in the war. There's no doubt about it. I really, really roughed it in the war. And I got some lovely letters from New Zealand. I commissioned New Zealand only last week about this Anzac I'm writing. When you see that, you'll see something that nobody else has seen yet, only my wife, and I'm building it. I've got Australians helping me. Oh, yes, I've got you can get things out of people if you can spin a yarn, you know.
Yes.
Oh, it's the real stuff. Yes. Oh, there's no doubt about it. The difference between the lower animal and the mugs like me. It's easy, you can talk, isn't it? It is real. Yes. You can talk up, down, or in between. I don't know which to do, really, but that's how it goes, isn't it? Yeah, you've seen the funniest Lord Aikman you've ever met in your life. And I enjoyed every minute of it. Yeah. But I never felt a Lord Aikman, you know. And when I was quartermaster, I was on the biggest ship in the Navy at the time, the Tiger. I've been on all kinds of ships, sloops and everything.
Yes.
Did you know Captain Campbell, B.C.? Q-boat man.
Oh, yes, I've read this. I read about it, yes.
Well, I was with Q-boats.
Were you for a time, yes?
I know, I was with the destroyers. We work in conjunction
with the Q-boats.
The Q-boats went out,
yes,
did their bit of stuff,
yeah,
and if they couldn't manage it themselves,
yes,
just the old tipper went up, and we were along there, 30 knots, you see, and we did it, and old boatman had to take the blooming wheel. I've gone alongside, so you've seen the blooming wheel, they wanted to drop a blooming hand bomb. Of course, I was on the observer, we had our 4-inch gun strained on, but that won't save our lives.
No. May sink them,
but
we'll help you.
No! But I thought, I said, don't do anything funny for hell's sake. I said, they drop a blooming hand bomb over. I said, we finished, we in Australia in no time. I could get any crew to go anywhere when we're in the boat. And I've trained all my crews to sail as good as I could sail. And when I got on the command, I knew I did all this. I've had some good seamanship commanders, you get some rotters, but I've had good ones. I think it's like keeping a dog. If you know how to keep a dog, in our next room we've got all dogs in there. We haven't got any dogs now, but I'm a great lover of animals, and I found out all the roughest people are too. But anyway, that don't help, does it? I sure you would, I think. Oh, no. Yes, it's in there, that's it, tell you. So three of the roughest ABs ever in the Navy and three of the finest seamen. I've worked with them many times. I've got them in there, and you see what kind they are. They used to fight, they can't have things in the Navy like we had, and a good job too, because we used to smash the ship up as well. We'd do £1,000 of the damage, it reminded me of the pit. And I used to be on this very often on there, but I was so small and so insignificant, they didn't used to bother about me. Do you know, my best pals were the toughest guys on the ship.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Now, it might surprise you, but most of my time in the Navy, and definitely now, I don't swear. But it's only just willpower, because the circles in which I move are educational, scholastic, and that kind of thing, sometimes scientific things. And therefore, if I can't express myself in my own language, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
So therefore, I find... But yet, I supplied hunter-gatherers in my business, amongst other things. And the Navy there, they're the only child. They're the yarns that they spin. And I say, encourage them. I got money. I used to laugh like hell and never forget it. I can't remember a filthy yarn. Because there's no advantage to me.
No.
See, I've got a lot of cells here. I don't want to spoil them with a lot of rubbish. Oh, I don't know the rubbish side. It's all tripe that I say. But anyway, that's different, you see. We do like Ernie does. I mix them all up and it comes out like that, you see. It started all right, inside there. Now, I don't think you're getting too well on this. Look at these bits of paper. I thought, if I put these bits of paper, it'll keep me down to what I should be saying.
We got as far, actually, as we finished the Ganges, more or less, and they went to the Edgar.
We didn't... I'll have to come to the Ganges to show you, because I've got pictures there to show you on that one. I've got one or two things I can give you as well that might be better. Sometimes the written word or the printed word is even better. Now then. Well, this is only just skipping it right through. My next ship was the gunnery ship HMS Duncan, then the Queen, when the First War began in August 1914. After a thrilling experience... thrilling, that's right. That would be a word for me, thrilling, not terrible. Thrilling. It's as you look at it, isn't it? I don't know, I haven't noticed it, really.
Are you hot?
No, it's very nice.
I'm making him hot, on my arms, don't make some air, will go up like that.
It seems very warm, as long as you're not sort of...
Oh, I haven't noticed it.
Are you?
No.
Well, say now, how many
sugars? Two,
four.
Well, from... Have three then, thank you.
They are compromised, you see.
I always have a master
of that. How many beer?
It's coffee, two. When I came here, I was having five. And then I realised that it's very bad for the heart. Yeah. Not when you're young, but when you get...
Yeah. When
you get an old decrepit bloke like me, you see, you've got to be a bit more careless. So... I've cut it down now.
We say that what he can't remember, he makes up.
I can well believe that.
Yeah, that's my honour down the drain, straight away, you see. I wish I hadn't noticed that one off. It don't show much.
Isn't it, if you want refills...
Oh, I shan't want to
refill. You will, but you probably had breakfast a lot earlier than we did.
I go to kind of Gosport and have breakfast about half past eight, actually. I'm not dying. I won't die first, you know.
We're 9 o'clock first. Yeah. Now, have you found out about Peter? Have you forgotten
Yes.
It?
Oh, yes, it says. Tomorrow. Take that bit of paper, look. And I was suggested about seven.
About seven,
oh.
That's okay.
Tomorrow.
What's the best time for them?
Well,
we don't really know his routine.
Actually,
well, look.
I didn't know until you wrote that Peter was a lieutenant
commander. Okay.
What does digress mean? It's the opposite to success, isn't it? Yes. Well, this is what I put. And I must have been quite sober at the time because it looks reasonable. My next ship was the gunnery ship, I'm going to go over that one, HMS Duncan. Then the Queen, when the First War began, August 1914, after thrilling experience, that's where I got, wasn't it, thrilling, in the Channel, went Middle East, picked up with the Anzacs, etc., etc., I can fill that in if you want it, then covered the landing on Gallipoli of the Anzacs, went to the Italian fleet at Taranto, then to the gunnery school, then destroyer, observer, on the Atlantic North Sea patrols and convoys. I forgot to mention that... this is why I put it in anyway. Forgot to mention that the first 2 years we had to scrub on holy stone decks in bare feet, freezing or otherwise. We had to do it. And I've actually seen this. We've been up north there, south of Robert North particularly, that we've had to stop the decks because the seawater has frozen coming out of the hose pipes. And it will bust the hose pipes, see. Now, that is definite. Well, I could tell real good yarns about that, the true things there around Iceland, where, like the fishermen have experienced.
Yes.
We had to wear... Oh, I'm digressing again. But anyway, you see, but life lends itself to it, doesn't it? When you've lived an active life, what's little at the earth, get back to your business, that's the stuff, yeah. That's it. It's my own writing, too. Well, it's in bare feet, I think you did it too, serve you right. Every morning before breakfast, and in the training ship, Shotley and Ganges, over the cross trees, on the mast, barefooted, of course. More gunnery, after war was over, packed off, my depot was Whale Island then, you see, packed off on experimental towing exercises on the sloop Holyoke, towing gunboat Mantis to China. At Sudan, nearly killed in towing accidents, etc., etc., 6 months after... Oh, the doctor told me there. I must digress on this one. I was paralysed down the right side. And my collarbone was broken. My shoulder blade was piercing my lungs.
How did this happen?
It was a towing accident. Well, to tell you the truth, our first lieutenant, who was a lieutenant,
yes,
and he was drunk, mm-hmm. and he was telling the captain what to do, and they told him to ease out this, you see, on the tow, you have a wire tow, but you finish your wire tow with a great big grass halter,
yes.
you see,
yep.
so that it was stretched.
You've got some stretching.
But then we had a lot of, we were experimenting for the Admiralty, and putting out a different kind of tow every time, and reporting the Admiralty the results of it.
Yes.
Well, we had a strong back fitted onto the sloop, especially for this.
Yeah.
Well, he did something wrong there, and caused the ship to go ahead when it shouldn't have done, and the shackle fastening the wire hawser, which was a 6.5, onto the great big grass hawser,
yes.
caught on the strong back, and slid over here, threw 20 men in the air. But I was in charge on that particular part, because I was, of course, considered the handyman as well, you see.
Mm.
And it caught me and took me with it to the side of the ship, and I don't know if you believe in miracles, but I've seen some miracles happen. Now, 1,500 tons, the Mantis, and she's coming down on the end of this wire, the shackles on there, well, great big shackles, big as that, they're sliding down there, and that should go straight onto there, shouldn't it? And there were a stanchion there and a stanchion to the other side.
Yes.
Now, it should have gone straight on, and for some unknown reason, it stopped. Enough for my head to slip between it. But when my head had slipped, this has all been told me, because I was unconscious by this, from this side, because my jawbone was pushed in, well, you see. How can you stop 1,500 tons moving when it's coming at a speed or something about like that? And it carried on, and only 6 inches from there was this stanchion, and cut the stanchion off like cheese. Mm-hmm. But yet I was down on the floor, unconscious. My head would have been with a stanchion, between the stanchion and this. And that's one of the big miracles, that I went down onto there, and there was the doctor, we had a touring doctor belonging to us. He came along, sent for him, he came along, it's only a sloop, it didn't take long to get there. He fainted when he saw this blooming lump of muck at the bottom of me. Oh, death and all right. There was a leading sick bay steward taking transit to India. And he came to there, and he got me up there, and they cut me blooming trousers all on one side, you know, because they don't mess around when there's anything like that, and I was like a mummy. But I was unconscious for the first 2 days, I think. I was unconscious mostly for 4 days, and it's very strange. That was in Sudan, and if you know anything about the big book and says, so, Mount Ararat was right in the inland there, but we got down, and we came to the 12 Islands of the Apostles when we came to there, and that was on Good Friday when it happened, and I didn't come conscious to understand anything at all until Easter Monday. That's biblical, of course, and that was in sight of Adam Speke and Ceylon at that time, and they told me that this lieutenant, the first lieutenant, never left my they put me on the starboard side of there, and put ropes around. Nobody allowed on the starboard side, and they had to go slow speed, kept the engines all slow speed. He was afraid out of his wits, this bloke was, because he was drunk, you see. Everybody knew that. He was always drunk anyway.
but he's more drunk than usual.
Oh, yes, he didn't know what he was doing. Yes, the captain, of course, he was a commander, he put him really on the mark, and he kept coming down, etc. And that's when I first started. Time to think. It's the first. It only stopped me, knocked me unconscious. I never stopped otherwise. And now, then on the third day, I woke up, and this doctor, because the doctor come back to life then. He said, "Well," he says, "Bertha," he says, remain still. He said, "Don't move." And I said, "Well, I better write home and tell them what happened." Well, of course, I was strung there. Never into my head about that. I hadn't got a right hand. I didn't know. And I had no feeling, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't hold anything in there. If you put a pencil in there, it just rolled off if a man wasn't right. And he says, "You'll never run again, you'll never box again, you'll never do this again, and all that." I said, "Well, it'll leave that. And, give me a bit of paper." But he got me some paper and a board and a pencil. I said, "I'll be giving you a pen, because you know these posh pens." You see, this was 1920, you see. And So we put it on there and put it in front of me, piled it in front of me. But that thing, I just picked it up and I wrote about one word, I was unconscious. And it took me 2 days to write a letter because I was unconscious after energy being expended from this lot. Oh, they were all winded. Told me everybody, all the crew told me all about this. Oh, they only knew me all right. I was always doing funny things. And so I put it on here. Now I can come back to this, you see, to just show you what really does, what comes from here. Provided you know how to build this engine up from there. And it's willpower that does that. And to prove it, you see, I wrote that letter, it took me 2 days. Mm. But it never entered my head from beginning to end that I couldn't write with my left hand.
Yes.
But writing with your left hand the first time is drawing, that's all.
Yeah.
You push the pen.
Then, rather than pull it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You push it. Now.
Just by the end of the tape, actually, I'll put another tape on the second thing.
Well, I finished, 6 months after, was challenging all comers in all the countries we put in, into at distance running.
Mm-hmm.
Covered the old China ports up to Korea, because we can take them down. You see, we're a shallow draft. We could go up the rivers where the gunboats were, and we could do sea service as well, you see. Mm-hmm. We were all right on that kind of thing. Had many personal experiences. Came home on a merchant ship, tea and rubber. We collected rubber at Singapore, and we went to Port Swettenham when they were building it, and actually listened to the wild animals coming to drink at night time. You know, before it was all built up. Then we went up to Penang, and then we went to Colombo and changed some rubber for tea, and took in tea as well, and we had a few servicemen on there as well, and all the servicemen had, you know, these chests of tea with a £7 replica chest of tea given to us in Colombo.
Mm.
Oh, they looked after us sometimes. Back to the gunnery school, and away again. This time, a destroyer, the Serapis. Interestingly, that was named after an American ship, that was. In my history, I've found that out. And back to Med, and Turkey, that's what it is, and ran over much of the Dardanelles and many other parts of Turkey. Oh, I know the Dardanelles, better than any one man, I think. Hundreds of experiences in Egypt. I've got to put it that way, because the yarns are terrible. Oh, you'd have to stay here, you'd have to put you up another couple of years. You'd never get to know the story, you know, if you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, this is only a tail end of it, I can't get anything over this. Etc., etc., I've got to put etc. Back to Pompey. And beat every runner in the RN and RM at 1 mile, 3 miles and cross country. When I left the RN in 1926, I was still undefeated at any distance running at home or abroad, etc., etc. That's nice, you know, it covers all the sins. You see, me no speak English, so we write etc., etc., etc. Oh, that's some fun in India. I can talk Hindu a little bit. I was the first county athletic coaching secretary in Great Britain, international athletic referee, on official lecturer's list, I am now, of the British Philatelic Association, won 3 awards last season, 2 national, 1 international, and in 4 months' time, will be one of the youngest 77-year-olds in the business. What business? Anyway, I never asked the guy what business he meant. Which reminds me, that's any business I'm doing at the time, you see. Which reminds me, I did 42 years in business, export, I didn't play at business. I did export, import, retail and wholesale. The whole issue.
Yep.
There's nothing in business I can't talk about. And I went to all the factories, spent weekends at factories to see my main lines, seen all the electric light bulbs made, fluorescent gear made.
Yep.
I saw car tyres, I went to Firestone, they put me up for a weekend in the Great West Road. I could talk a traveller off his feet. But I studied. They say, oh, it's all right for you. It isn't all right, it's I've made it all right. You see, and I thank two things. I thank my first little country school for making me learn 10 words. One, I didn't tell you in my last little digress, that we had to draw one map every week.
Now,
that's very good. Now, I can draw pretty well the maps of any country in the world from memory. I draw it most. If I can see a map and I can look at it and I draw it and I can draw it from memory. It is the memory. Well, that's part of talking as well, isn't it? I think so. I don't know. I've got well, anyway, in business exports, that's right. And was in the educational branch. Well, I've been in the Navy. I've been in four armies. I've been in Canadian. I did 2 years with Canadians. I did 6 months in the American Army during World War II. Out in the German department. Four times more than I've ever had in any service. Here, this sling money in there. Oh, and this government took half of it away from for nothing. It did. Never did a thing in it. Yeah, 50% income tax I was paying. Well, you see, this is how. This is what the Navy taught me, to be resourceful, you see. And be going on the destroyer sloops, you have to be resourceful there. Every man has got to be able to pull his weight. Or else we put him under, don't we? We don't allow any riders there. And that's how I did that. Then, German department, that's right. Oh, I did 6 years as a journalist, other than nothing. And when I've lectured on scientific athletics, I've also lectured on acoustics. I'm interested in sound, in the science of sound. Because as a violin maker, I have to know that.
Yeah.
I haven't put it down here, wouldn't bother about down there, but I can tell you from memory, I invented 64 types of music strings.
You really?
Yes. Now, that, you just work this out. No. I've lived 150 years, I've worked it out in time, because I've got had to do to these things, and you've got to do at least three or four things together. Because when a chap told you, I did this, I did that, and did that, how could you? You're only 50 or something. But when I was 50, I'd lived 100 years compared with the others. I don't go to bed until the morning, I get up anyway.
Yeah.
That's the position, isn't it? You see, now, in the afternoon, if I want, I have an hour's lay down. But that's reminiscence of the Navy, because we always do that at dinner time in the Navy.
After dinner,
but the civvies don't know that.
Yeah.
But I do it, you see. I don't sleep. Do you know what? Sometimes I might sleep for a minute or two. I do all my scheming then. When I come down, my wife, she tell you if you talk to her a few times. I've had the brain. I've always had brain waves. And I've got to do it when I've got it. And it's really good. It's something, you see.
Yeah.
And I lay down to think. And then I think so much I get tired and I can will myself to sleep. If I'm waking the about something goes through here, say, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking up. If I get up, go to the window, have a look outside, look at the sky, because I'm interested in meteorology, because as a quartermaster we used to have to take all the different things, you know. And I'm the main forecaster of this blooming avenue. I can tell you what's happening on these parts. Look at the sky. I've got a barometer as you come in, a barometer in there as well. Got thermometers everywhere. Oh, you can't leave the Navy altogether, you know. Well, not a real seaman kind, anyway. And to spend all that time on there. To cut that in, now the next 7 years, I did my job that I was supposed to do in gunnery. I had some interesting things, but I think I saved my life in NZAC by taking the gunnery part as well, because instead of landing in the port cutter in there, I had to go on my 6-inch gun.
You said covering. On board, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
And the lads that went on there got killed.
Yeah.
You see, my life has been saved scores of times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if it's the devil or the other chap. But anyway, there's somebody looking after me, you see.
Yeah.
Everybody's too daft to look after himself. They've got to do it, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, all through the First War, saying what it can't anyway, it's different. But all through the First War, and in Anzac, and Gallipoli, all these places, in Russia, and on these convoys, never in my blooming life did I ever think I'd ever get killed.
Yeah.
Never. And I was when I left Wheel Island, I qualified there, and I was one of the first to qualify on a new 4-inch semi-automatic gun that was being put on the destroyer at the time. And I went up into this fleet, and I went to the Greenwich, and I was given instructions to those who didn't know the new semi-automatic gun. You see, straight from Wheel Island, I came out topping Wheel Island. Because I remember all the detail, I love detail. Oh, 72 locks in the Navy, and there was time to, I could draw every one of them, and all the parts in them.
Yeah,
I love that kind of thing. See, the only power I recognise is knowledge. Not that I've got it, but it's other people's knowledge I'm pinching, you see. That's how I can use it, that's all, isn't it? Well, I just retain it for them. That's what the right book's for, isn't it? You retain the knowledge there.
Yeah.
And if you can get a good book and read it correctly, a rotten book's no good anyway, but a good book and read it correctly, I'll show you a few books. I saw nearly 2,000 away when I came here, because I knew we wouldn't have a room. We had a big place in Commercial Road, over there, 32 years, on the old sailor side of it. And that is what I've done all the time and studied. And then I studied in business, I made German contacts, and I was running an import-export business postally in the Navy, and I was running a business ashore, managed ashore, in general business, because I didn't care what I sold then. But I was coming out, and they did everything they could to make me stop in the Navy.
Mm.
It's on my papers to prove it, volunteer for this, fleet reserve and all that. No, I do a contract, and I finish.
Yes.
I cut out everything,
straight
away. And that's how my life had been run like that. I'll show you something in a minute. I'll cut this out, I'll be on a different tangent altogether. And those last 7 years, I was making, done more money outside than I was making in. But I've always looked after my money, and I've always used it as well. I've not hoarded it. For training, for instance, when I was training abroad, I had 12 eggs a day. Of course, in Egypt, there's nothing about eight meats. But I did have to have those things.
Yes.
I made myself have them, and I had good food. Because we didn't have the food they have now. They told me now, we're to buy all our food, and we're to buy all our clothes. We only had the first blooming lot that don't fit anywhere. Eventually, we buy everything. But that's different. But the 7 years afterwards, but I did my job first. That's the main thing.
Yes.
And then those, I like boats. Oh, another one of boats. I went to Whale Island. I think I'm still a leading seaman. Do you know, these devils, they put my name down as leading. When I got my APO, I was still leading seaman running, because running and leading seaman both of they were together.
Yeah.
And the blooming lot of them, I said, you're bloody, you know very well I'm not a leading seaman. Well, everybody knows you're leading. We put petty of us to birth, they think it's somebody else. And they did. The blotters told me this. The reporters told me this.
Yeah.
And in Pompeii, for about four years, is dead now, the man, they've got a library in there. You can get any picture that comes in the evening news, you see. And it was partly through me and one or two others that this man said, I'm not going to keep coming taking your photograph. You're winning all the way. I won 64 races in 1 year. He said, I'm fed up with taking your photograph. I said, well, don't bother. I don't actually take the damn thing. I said, it's only for your blooming paper. You'll get paid for it. I don't. I said, don't give me any commission. I said, you're going to give me a copy of the damn thing. No, he says, I'm not taking any more. I said, until I'm made to. Or if I'm on a special occasion. So I said, what are you going to do? He says, you'll see. And he started this library. And, you know, for 4 years, never got any older. I mean, mummy, I was beginning to slip a little bit. Because all the lads were ragging me everywhere I went. Blimey. Where do you have this? In your blooming cradle or something? He says, you don't look as young as that. Well, I says, I didn't take the damn thing, did I? And I've had the front page of the Mirror, front page of the Sketch, you know. I managed to get a little bit of a Mirror. I'll give you that one. To prove this. That's 1923, I think it was. There's nothing to write about out there. They don't like me to write about. But no wars just then, you see. We finished war for the time being. Yeah. You know, that's one to end all wars, you know, that's right. Yeah. We haven't had the end of them yet, anyway. The next one will end it, won't it? Throw the land, blooming lot up. Well, that was the point then. I think I better show you something practical now.
No, could I actually. I wonder if you. I'd like to ask you something about the Stryers.
Yes.
You obviously much preferred, but I mean, you'd be in the Queen for a time.
Well, I was in the Edgar, that was used as a training ship.
Yes.
Now, that was all training, all the time. Then I went on the Duncan, which was a gunnery ship.
Yes.
You see, I've been on a lot of gunnery ships. Yes. I was a gunnery merchant.
Yeah.
I liked it. And my papers show all that, you see. So I got on this gunnery ship, and I went on there as a boy.
Mm.
And I'll come back to Captain Whiting. Now, I've never known this done before. Now, these are the things that, when you're writing a book, I haven't got time, but when you're writing a book, you only think it could happen. Now, I was frozen, and I've been up there, I reckon I've been up there 3 or 4 hours. And I didn't know that a skimshank like me, I sat down there, and I was working two instruments, different gunnery instruments, you see. I was working all there, and they'd all gone out, all getting hot coffee and something like that, and then someone brought some up for the captain. He's a nice fellow, this one. And when I see a naval officer, and I thought he's a damn good fellow.